I mentioned earlier, I'll be drawing from our first and second readings today from Esther 3 and 4, but we'll also be looking at chapter 8, and that's what I'm going to read now. Esther chapter 8. On that day, King Ahasuerus gave Queen Esther the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told how he was related to her. So the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther appointed Mordecai over the house of Haman. Now Esther spoke again to the king, fell down at his feet, and implored him with tears to counteract the evil of Haman the Agagite and the scheme which he had devised against the Jews. And the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, "If it pleases the king and I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seems right to the king and I am pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, which he wrote to annihilate the Jews who are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that will come to my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my countrymen?" Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther and Mordecai the Jew, "Indeed, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and they have hanged him on the gallows because he tried to lay his hand on the Jews. You yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews, as you please, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's signet ring. For whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke." So the king's scribes were called at that time in the third month, which is the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day. And it was written, according to all that Mordecai commanded, to the Jews, the satraps, the governors, and the princes of the provinces, from India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces in all, to every province in its own script, to every people in their own language, and to the Jews in their own script and language. And he wrote in the name of King Ahasuerus, sealed it with the king's signet ring, and sent letters by couriers on horseback, riding on royal horses, bred from swift steeds. By these letters the king permitted the Jews who were in every city to gather together and protect their lives, to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the forces of any people or province that would assault them, both little children and women, and to plunder their possessions. No, on one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, a copy of the document was to be issued as a decree in every province and published for all people, so that the Jews would be ready on that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. The couriers rode on royal horses, went out, hastened, and pressed on by the king's command, and the decree was issued in Shushan the citadel. So Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, with a great crown of gold and a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness, joy and honor. And in every province and city, wherever the king's command and decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a holiday. Then many people of the land became Jews because fear of the Jews fell upon them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Join with me, let us pray. Our gracious Lord, you taught the disciples on their road to Emmaus, beginning with Moses and all the prophets and in the Psalms, the things concerning you, how Christ would suffer before entering into his glory. Help us this day, Lord, to see that this is true not only of the Old Testament men who prefigured you, but also of godly women like Esther. Help us, Lord, to have eyes to see and ears to hear. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Today we continue our study of Old Testament characters and stories that point us to Jesus and particularly to his death and resurrection. As we've seen time and again, the stories of the great heroes of the Old Testament teach us to anticipate Jesus' suffering on the cross and his subsequent glorious resurrection from the dead. As a result, thus far, we've seen this pattern repeated with variation in the lives of Adam, Isaac, Samson, David, and Daniel. In each case, we found that each character undergoes a time of suffering as a prelude to deliverance and exaltation. And in the variation of the familiar pattern, we find each character adds another layer or dimension to the story. In doing so, each of the Old Testament characters whose lives conform to this pattern teach us more about all that Jesus accomplished for us by his death and resurrection. So with that thought in mind, today we're going to see yet another way Jesus' story was prefigured in the Old Testament in a place that many of us might be tempted to overlook were it not for the parallels being so obvious. I'm speaking today about the story of Esther, Queen of Persia. What I hope to show is that in addition to the lives of the great men whose stories prefigure the gospel work of Jesus, the lives of some of the great women of faith found in the Old Testament also remarkably foreshadow the drama of death and resurrection. As you may recall, I preached through Esther not too long ago. In the process, occasionally we noted how Esther's stories point to Jesus, but we mostly did that in passing because at the time I was placing more emphasis on things we could learn about living in a time of cultural captivity, somewhat analogous to the situation the Jews found themselves in during Esther's time. But today, I want us to specifically consider how the life of this great heroine of the faith prefigures the gospel mission of Jesus. As we do, as we consider how Esther points us to Jesus, I want you to actively think about how Esther's story prefigures Jesus' story. Moreover, I want you to consider how the story of the Jews during this period prefigures the story of humanity, which makes the work of Esther to save her people from destruction in many ways analogous to the work of Jesus to save us from destruction. In other words, I want you to actively consider the parallels yourself because there are too many for me to point them all out. As a result, I'm going to allude to some parallels in passing in the expectation that you will pick up on them so that I can focus a bit more time on the less obvious parallels that we might overlook. All right? With that in mind, let's begin our study of Queen Esther and her story. Set the stage for Esther's story. We must remember the setting in which the events of the book of Esther take place. You recall the story of Esther occurs during the period of Persian captivity. While the elevation of the Persian Empire provided Israel a period of hope because of the release from captivity granted by the Persian emperor, it was nevertheless also a time of potentially great peril for the people of God. So we heard in our first reading earlier from Esther 3, the great king of Persia, who was ruler of all the basically known world at the time, had a wicked, high-ranking official who was an enemy of the people of God. Haman the Agagite, an ancestral enemy of the nation of Israel, was so angry at Mordecai the Jew that he purposed not only to have Mordecai killed, but with him his entire nation. As a result, Haman conceived of a plan by which he conspired to have the people of God condemned to death. To sum up the familiar story, because of the scheming of Haman, Ahasuerus, the great king, issued a decree that placed all the people of God under the judgment of death. By the irrevocable command of the king, all of God's people throughout what was then the entire world were set to be slaughtered on a designated day of judgment. And as a result, by one man's wicked act, judgment fell upon the people of God. That's the setting for the story. What Haman does not realize, though, is that amidst this time of great peril, God in his providence was raising up a savior for his people. In this case, the Lord in his mercy raised up Esther, a young Jewish woman, to become queen of Persia to deliver God's people from the wicked enemy who sought their death. But herein lies the problem. The only way for Esther to save the people of God is for her to intervene on their behalf before the great king of Persia. The problem, however, is that according to the custom of the royal court, no one could appear before the king without a summons upon penalty of death. Only if the king extends his golden scepter of mercy to them could the person approaching the king be spared the condemnation of death. But by this time, the king had not summoned Esther for 30 days. And therefore, in order for Esther to plead for her people's salvation, she would have to be willing to be condemned to death herself for the sake of her people. Despite the threat of consequences to herself, out of great love for her people, Esther resolves to venture her life for the people of God and to intervene on their behalf before the great king. However, before she does, she asked the people of God in the capital city of Shushan to pray and fast for her for 3 days. Then, at the end of those 3 days, Esther will petition the great king to appear before him as a representative for her people with the intent of delivering them from the sentence of death. After the 3 days, Esther sums up the courage to appear before the king, fully prepared to die in order to save the people of God from condemnation. Thankfully, Ahasuerus extends his golden scepter of mercy to Esther so that after 3 days of prayer and fasting, she is delivered from death on the third day. Although we didn't have time today to read what comes next, you know from the story that when Esther goes before the king, she quickly sets in motion events that will accomplish her people's salvation. Among the steps she takes to secure the salvation of her people is the establishment of a supper which she will use to deliver them. It is on the evening of the banquet that Esther intercedes for her people to deliver them from condemnation. So we know from the outcome of the story, after everything was done at Esther's request, finally the great king gives to Esther his signet ring of authority over all his empire. Then by his command, he orders that letters be dispatched throughout all the land proclaiming the good news of the deliverance of God's people. The letters are stamped with the royal seal that, according to custom, identified them as the infallible and unalterable word of the great king, and they are translated into every language and tongue. The result is, the couriers of the great king then carried the letters of good news of salvation of God's people to the ends of his worldwide empire. And as we heard in chapter 8, whenever the good news of the letters was proclaimed throughout the land, many who did not previously belong to the people of Israel joined themselves to the people of God. And thus it was said, the Jews had light and gladness, joy and honor. And in every province and city, wherever the king's command and decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a holiday. Then many of the people of the land became Jews because fear of the Jews fell upon them. Obviously, there's much more to the story, but that in summary contains the main contours of the story of Esther. As a result, having summed up this story, I trust we can see how the story of Esther's deliverance of the Israelites prefigures the gospel story of Christ's deliverance of the people of God. As a result of the schemes of their wicked enemy, the people of God throughout the world were set to be condemned to death. But at a time of great peril, the Lord raised up once more a Savior for his people. And like Esther, Jesus willingly chose to sacrifice his life for his people in order to plead for their salvation before the Lord God. And like Esther, he even established a supper by which we might be delivered from death by eating his body and drinking his blood and thereby be united to him, so that what is true of him becomes true of us. After that supper, Jesus went before the Lord to petition for his people's salvation. But once more, as in each of the Old Testament types of Christ that we've studied thus far, at some point, the parallels end. And here's where they do. It's at this point they do for Christ, because unlike Esther, when Jesus went before the great king, he received no mercy. Instead, he actually was delivered over to death on behalf of his people to save them from the condemnation of death. But after 3 days, Jesus was raised from the dead, having accomplished the salvation of the people of God for all time. And what does the great king do? At his request, the great king over all the earth granted to Jesus authority over all his worldwide kingdom and commanded that letters be written proclaiming the good news of God's deliverance of his people. And the Lord's couriers then carried those unalterable and infallible letters of good news to the ends of the world, where they have been translated into every language and tongue. And everywhere the good news of God's salvation has been proclaimed, many people who were formerly strangers to the faith, both Jew and Gentile, have likewise joined themselves to the people of God. And to this day, there has been joy and gladness and feasting ever since. As today, we look back on the story of Esther, I want us to see how much of the story centers on whether Esther will choose to venture her life for her people. Though the story makes clear she's under no obligation to save them, and she can refuse to shoulder the great burden placed upon her if she so desires. But in the end, Esther proves her willingness to sacrifice her life for her people's sake when she was told that she was appointed, that God appointed her as queen for such a time as this. In the same way, in the Garden of Gethsemane, our Lord Jesus faces a similar choice as was presented to Esther before his own suffering. Like Esther, his love for his people moves him to act on their behalf. Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Like Esther, Jesus recognizes the Lord had appointed him as deliverer of his people, and his time had come. And so, though far greater suffering than Esther had to endure awaited him, Jesus made the choice to submit to his Father's will, to suffer death on the cross in order that his people might be raised to eternal life. In all these ways and more, I believe we learn that Esther was a great woman of faith whose life prefigured the gospel mission of our Savior. As to how much she understood regarding the significance of her actions on behalf of her people, we're not told. But I think it is significant that Esther asked the people of God in the capital city to pray and fast for her for 3 days before she approached the great king. Somehow I wonder if, like her father Abraham, if Esther knew over and over again the scriptures foretold that Christ would suffer and be delivered from the grave on the third day. I believe that's why she went before Ahasuerus, trusting in the Lord's resurrection power to deliver after 3 days. And I believe that's why the Lord rewarded her for her faith. The same way, the thing we can learn from this is that the Lord now rewards us for our faith. Just as the Lord delivered Esther and her people after 3 days of fasting and prayer, so also he's done the same for us. After 3 days, he turned our fasting into feasting and our mourning into rejoicing, because while Esther saved her people from condemnation, Jesus has delivered us from eternal condemnation. As a result, the feasting and celebration that took place after Esther's deliverance of her people cannot be compared to the feasting and rejoicing that we participate in today and will continue to do so throughout all eternity at the wedding supper of the Lamb. Till that time comes, let us take comfort in the fact that in our lives there are times when God brings us low. But if we by faith trust in Him, He will raise us up on the third day. He did so in Esther's case, He did so in Jesus' case, and He does so in ours. He brings all things to pass in His good time and in accord with His divinely intended rhythms of life. For those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we so often we read the Gospels thinking about them in terms of Jesus' death and resurrection as they record those accounts, and we reflect upon Paul's many comments regarding the resurrection. Help us to see once more how all of your word points us to Jesus' death and resurrection. Help us to see how each different story provides new layers for us to meditate upon and consider. Help us to see this, Lord, not only in regard to the great heroes of the faith, but the heroines of the faith like Esther, who was willing to sacrifice herself for her people. Lord, may we follow in her ways and in the ways of our Lord Jesus in our love for others. Grant us this, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Continue to worship the Lord by bringing forth His tithes and our offerings.